to Jesus I surrender all. To you I freely give, and I will ever love and trust you in your presence.
Praise the Lord again. You can be seated tonight. We have one more birth certificate for a Florence Gonzalez. Are you in the building? I was told that she was here. She's not. Does anybody know where she's at? I'm very focused on giving this out tonight, and I don't know if I can go any further. I'm just kidding. Okay, we'll put it on the side here. Also, at Midwinter Camp, a lot of people had asked about recordings for this. They did do a live streaming, but we're going to be contacting Brother Scott Jacobs from the Media Missions over the district, and the DVDs and the CDs, we'll just order a bunch and offer them up here. We probably won't have them by Wednesday. I don't think I can get them here in the mail by Wednesday, but we'll try to have them by next week. And so if you would like to take and purchase those, you can do that. Also, over our Christmas season, Sister Darlene Burrell and the Sisters Loving Sisters have been having a outreach in the Ark House, and a few of the ladies that are there in the Ark House have received the Holy Ghost, been baptized, but they sent a very nice thank you card. We were able to take and give a lot of their family some of those gifts that you signed up for, the shoebox gift. A lot of these gifts went to some of these ladies and their children. These ladies, I don't know if you know what Ark House is, but it's an abuse shelter. That's what most of the ladies are in there, and they do keep it. It's a secured facility and such for their protection, but they said thank you for the lovely holiday gifts. Your love, generosity is greatly appreciated, the women and the staff of the Ark House. So thank you, Sister Darlene and the sisters on Park Street for reaching out, and thank you to Calvary Gospel Church, to all of you that were able to take and give to that cause. You never know the lives that you're affecting. You have no idea. And it's just awesome to be able to be used by God. I'm just sometimes just flabbergasted that God would even call me. So we've been doing a series over the last, it seems like months, but it really hasn't been, but the power of a focused life. And we talk about vision, how that if you have a vision, a dream, whatever that dream may be, maybe it's even someday to own your own business or whatever it may be, a degree or whatever. Whatever that vision is, it's going to require focus. And you won't get there without staying focused on that vision, that dream. So we started off with faith in God and family. We talked about that. That's the F of focus. The O is others before yourselves. C is cut out distractions. U is unplug as often as you can. S is simplify your life. Then we had a Bible study on goals, which was a Wednesday night. Then we had a Bible study on Bible study last Wednesday night was actually how to study your Bible. And this morning we preached on boundaries. We talked about how important boundaries are in our lives and that boundaries are a God-given thing. We talked about moral boundaries. We talked about physical boundaries and such. And tonight, we're going to wrap all of this up with balance. Because in order to take and stay focused, there has to be balance in all of this. So we're going to read once again from Psalms 1, 1 through 3. How many of you pretty much have this memorized? All right. We studied in our Bible study last Wednesday about Bible study and how important, if you just read a particular passage of Scripture over and over, it will begin to stick. Now, I'm struggling with my throat tonight. I've been fighting this for a week now. So I may not get too carried away or too out, too loud tonight because I want to be able to take and at least order fajitas or something after service. So I went to Cuco's today for lunch. How many of you have ever been to Cuco's? I tell you what, my goodness, I love their food. I go there more often than I ought to. And they had fajitas. I'm like, they brought out some fajitas, and I thought, man, them smell so good. You know, they go by. How many of you have ever been in a restaurant and that sizzling plate goes by? I'm trying to send them some business here. And the sizzling plate went by and you could smell that, the onions and the peppers. And they're just, Brother Carl, you're just like drooling over there, brother. You might want to. And I told Lois, I said, let's get the fajitas. Let's split them. So we got fajitas for two. It probably would have fed six. I mean, I've never seen such a pile of fajita mix. And then we each got our own plate of trimmings, which usually they don't do that. So I got my own stuff, and she got her stuff. But I don't know how I got on this. How did I get on this? What's that? My throat, yeah, yeah. Somebody said I need to drink lemon and water and honey. They didn't have lemon and honey there. But so maybe the hot sauce that I had might help out a little bit. It might have had a little lime in it, but let's go. Let's move on. Isn't God good? I'm so glad that he didn't just make us just strictly vegetarians. Aren't you? I'm glad when Noah come out of that ark, he said, Noah, you see that big old elk stag there? And he's like, yeah. He says, kill, slay, and eat. You got to catch them first, though. There was a little catch there. Let's move on. Reading from Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This has to do with boundaries. We talked about this morning, how that this is a man who has placed boundaries in his life. That's why boundaries are so important. Boundaries keep you in, and it keeps other people out. And sometimes we need that in our lives. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, meaning the law of the Lord. It's God's law. But then the last verse here refers back to the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That can be any one of us. That could be all of us. And he's saying, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. This is where the blessings of a focused life come into play. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's powerful. I love that. That's got some potency to it. So tonight we're going to talk about maintaining spiritual balance. I think one of the hardest things to do in life is to maintain focus for any particular amount of time. And probably one of the next hardest things to do in life is to maintain spiritual balance. Because it's so very easy to get out of balance. Now, when you look at balance, balance isn't some sort of a static thing that you achieve or don't achieve. Balance is not a destination. It's not something that you discover one day and it all falls into place the next. Balance isn't something that just happens overnight. It's a process that takes place over time. So if you want a balanced life, don't start tonight and expect everything to flow tomorrow, because it's not going to work. So you want to write that down in your notes, that this is not an overnight sensational thing that's going to happen when it comes to balance in our lives. We hear about how that balance really is, it's a series of decisions that you and I make on any given day about how to allocate our limited life's resources. Now, we make decisions every day, and how we make those decisions and how we allocate what we have, our talents, abilities, and resources, determine how well our life is balanced. We hear the statement that money is power and that time is life. And to squander time is to squander life. But more plainly, if you squander your time and you squander your life, you are squandering your destiny. We only got one life, folks. One life. And the more of that one life that you squander, the less and less and less time you have to reach your dream or destiny. More painfully, if you don't manage your time effectively, we're talking about balance here. If you don't manage your time effectively, you will not enter into the destiny that God has designed and laid out for you. God can give each and every one of us a plan that would blow our socks off. But if we're not willing to work with God, manage our time, balance our life, and stay focused, we're never going to get there. There are so many plans that God has laid out for humanity, for you and I, that go by the wayside because we won't work with God. So an aggressive approach to time management is the same thing as passion for your life's destiny and purpose in God. To squander hours doesn't bother most people, but to squander your destiny in God does bother God. But let me tell you, squandering your destiny, squandering your life, and squandering what God has for you is sad. God only gives each and every one of us a set amount of hours in a day. And what we do with that time. During this fast, there's a number of things that God really reminded me of. And one of the things that he reminded me of is how slack I had gotten in effective time management in my life. You know, it's real easy sometimes to sleep in on any given day if you don't necessarily have anything to do that day. But just because you don't have anything to do that day doesn't necessarily mean you have to sleep half of it away. Okay? There are things that should be done, things that we could be doing. But I found out that, you know what? Sometimes I'm just not a real good time manager. And I've gotten real lazy in this area. And I feel that it's something that really most of us struggle with, because I talk to people all over the place, and everybody always says, I'm so busy, I don't have enough time. Now, I would guarantee everybody would have ample time in their day if they would write down everything. You just go home, and as a challenge between now and Wednesday night, per se, write down what you do every day from when you get up in the morning and how long it takes you to do it. Take a little notepad with you. Write it down. You're going to find out by the time Wednesday comes around that there's a whole lot of time that you've squandered. Test it and see. I found out, Lord, there's a lot of time. And during this fast, God just spoke to me the hours that we could spend in prayer and in the Word, but instead we waste them on things that have no eternal value. I'm not saying you can't go out and have fun. I'm not saying you can't take your kids to the circus. I'm just talking about balance here, okay? Just balance. I'm not going to say that we can't enjoy life and that everything always has to be about prayer and God's Word, but if we kept track of our time, I think we would be surprised. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, desire to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. If we desire to be focused, our dreams and our visions fulfilled, to reach and accomplish the godly goals we have set in our lives, then our lives need to be balanced. It's the only way it's going to work. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. From a revised version, it says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. When we're desiring to live a focused life, there's so many different components and parts that need to become habits so that they need to become habits and part of our balanced life. When we look at overall vision, we have to say, what's the primary purpose in my life? But you got to look past the past, okay? You can start right here tonight, and you can ask yourself, what's the primary purpose in my life, present and future? You see, life goals, applying my life vision to each specific area of my goal. We talked about this in goals. We talked about long-term goals, 10 years. We talked about short-term goals, maybe 3 years, 1 to 3 years. Also, we talked about goals that were almost immediate, 1 to 3 months. Goals that we have. We talked about spiritually, praying, fasting, Bible study. We talked about relationally, things with family and friends, vocation, marketplace, and our work, our jobs, and our callings in the ministry, in the church, and outside of the church. We talked about spending, giving, saving, investing, physical, exercise, health and diet, rest, recreation, vacation, play, entertainment, sports, all of these things that we have in our lives have to be balanced. But in order to make all of this work, we have to have some plan of action. For each long and short-term goal that we have in our life, we have to plan and then act upon that plan. We have to schedule for every action that you plan, for every goal that you set. You know, a lot of people are good at setting goals. But boy, we're not so good about setting aside the time it takes to accomplish those goals. Goals take time. It has to happen. I mean, we've got to set aside the time. And this is where our life vision can most easily become derailed and become lost. Ephesians 5:14-17 says, the Lord says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See then that you walk wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Balance. Balance. So why is balance so important? You have to balance your life. We have to balance our food. We have to balance our diet. Did you know we even have to have a balanced personality? How many of you people know people that don't have balanced personalities? It's very difficult sometimes to have a conversation with someone that's always angry. We talked about anger this morning. Or somebody that's always, everything's a joke to them. It's frustrating. But see, there has to be a balance. They've never learned to balance themselves. So why is biblical balance so important in the life of a Christian? You see, the balance is important due to the fact that biblical principles, hear me now, biblical principles pushed too far in either direction can be wrong. Okay? Anything that replacing God's rightful place in our lives can become wrong. Even things that are good in themselves can cause us to become out of balance. I just read a recent lengthy article put out, and I wish I could remember the publication. I thought I put it in my archives, and I think I deleted it. But it might have been Word, Dr. Dobson. I'm not positive, but anyway. And it was talking about balance in Christian families and how that the Christian family today is so far out of balance because they've placed their children as priority in their lives. It's all about the children. They talked about how that families now are idolizing their children. You see, the problem with that is when those children grow up, they feel like and expect that they should be the center of attention. That's the problem we're having on our campuses today, by the way. All of these kids think they ought to be the center, and everything revolves around me. Why? Because their parents have put them on a pedestal. And those children are smart enough to realize that I like my pedestal, and I'm going to do whatever I can do to stay here. And I've seen many times where 2-, 3-, 4-year-old children run the household, and mom and dad just follow along afterwards. That's not balance. You see, there's nothing wrong with loving your families. Nothing. Husbands, love your wives. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Nothing wrong with loving them. But there has to be balance. So we can look at it this way, and something we can all relate to about our spiritual health by using the analogy of an automobile. Okay, we all got here some way tonight, and whatever method of transportation you used to get here, it had tires on it. Am I correct? Anybody drive their car here tonight with no tires on it? Anybody ever try to ride a bicycle with no tires? What about a skateboard? Anybody got a skateboard here with no wheels or tires on it? Anybody land in an airplane with no tires? You see, tires are important because tires are what gives the vehicle a smooth ride. If a tire is unbalanced and you increase your speed, then the ride can get a bit rough. Ever take a car like that? I used to have a truck that I'd get up about 60 miles an hour, and that front wheel would start to shake. Actually, Brother Jeff Rossing ended up with it, Old Blue. I got it from Ricky Wells. It was one of those, Lord knows where Old Blue is today. But man, you get up around 60, and the first thing is it start going like this, and the next thing is a power steering belt would come off. And then it'd get worse because you're going like this, and you can't steer. And you'd have to pull over on the interstate and put the belt on and make sure you don't get up to 60. You see, the problem is there was something with the tires. Something was out of balance. Something was causing the vehicle to shake. So when we look at our lives, what can our four tires represent? They can represent our psychological tire. We have a physical tire. We have a social tire and a spiritual tire. And the problem is all of those tires have to stay in balance and be inflated to the proper inflation, or we're going to have a problem. So one way to increase your balance if you have a problem is to take that deflated tire, whichever one it is. Now our cars tell us. My wife comes in the other day and she said, "Hon," she says, "one of my tires needs air." And I said, "How do you know that?" "Well, it lit up on my dash." I'm like, okay, we'll get some air in it. All of them needed air, but one of them especially needed air. And you know what? The car rode a lot smoother. So, if you got a tire, whatever it is, one of those areas, and it's a little out of balance, then just put some air in it. Put some air in it. God is not just always concerned about our souls, but he's also concerned with every aspect of our lives. He's concerned with our physical being. He wants to make sure we get the proper rest. He wants to make sure we get the right nutrition. He wants to make sure that we exercise and we have recreation, because he built our bodies to work and exercise. So we have to have the right balance. But if that's all we did, then the other areas of our lives would start to come apart. He made us as social creatures. We have relationships with one another. We have our spouses, our family, our children. We have friends here at church. We've got friends here at church. We have our coworkers. Then also we're spiritual beings. We have to trust him. We have to obey him. But not just knowing Jesus Christ, but having a relationship with him and following his will for our lives, thus fulfilling his purpose in our lives. And he is concerned about the health of our spiritual hearts. So the ability of maintaining a healthy biblical balance is a lifelong challenge for us, which at times are going to involve some negative consequences. And a life-enhancing or life-improving task should also involve positive results. So as we go through life and we struggle to maintain balance in these areas of our lives, sometimes it's going to be negative and we're going to have negative consequences, and other times it's going to have positive results. So when you maintain to maintain a healthy balance in any of these four areas of our lives, we have to be aware of two dangers in this. Number one is extremism. Some people take everything to the extreme. You notice that? It doesn't matter what it is. Soon as something comes up, boom, they're to the one extreme. And another danger is overreaction. Did you hear about so-and-so? Oh! Seriously? Are you kidding me? I saw it coming. I could have told you so. That hot sauce is working on the throat. I'm feeling better already. Extremism. We all know people that are extreme. My train set's extreme. I'll give you that. Overreaction. Now let's talk about this for a minute. Extremism is caused by a lack of biblical balance, meaning biblical principle balance. Everything in the Word of God is based upon principle, and which often involves the tendency of some to go to extremes with what one believes or practices or teaches. It was very much the problem that Jesus had in the days of the Pharisees, and one of their primary goals was to live the letter of the law to the best of their ability. But this religious extremism caused them to become unbalanced and unpleasing to God. So as we look at our lives today, if we're not careful, we as well can fall into the same dangers as the Pharisees. Look at what Jesus had to say to the Pharisees. This is how bad out of balance that they were. In Matthew 23, verses 23 and 24, he says, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." Now, this was to the religious leaders of his day. Then Matthew 23, just a little further in 27 and 28, he says again, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." Now, how would you like to be a religious leader of the day and Jesus come in and look at you and say, "Woe unto you, you scribe, Pharisee, and hypocrite, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautifully outside," which means you look so good on the outside, but in the inside, oh, you're full of dead man's bones. You stink on the inside. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You see, we like to use words today, terms today, the radical right and the ultra left, to describe two extremes. We hear this all the time. We just went through a political election, and I got so tired of hearing the radical right, the extreme left, and all of this and that. And this is how we define our terms. We're liberal or conservative. But see, the problem with that is there aren't any accurate term, and there's no solid accepted definition to go by what's liberal and what's conservative. When you think about it, where do you draw the line? Someone is a loser. If someone is looser than we are, is liberal, and someone who's stricter we are, is a conservative. I remember Bishop some years ago telling a story about going to General Conference with another fellow pastor. And they started talking on the way about standards of holiness, standards to live by. This preacher friend of his was telling our bishop how he recently severed a relationship with another pastor friend that he had been friend with for years. And Bishop says, well, why did you sever the relationship? He says, because he wasn't up to my standard of living and my standard of beliefs. This is what I believe, and he didn't believe that. And I believe that this is scriptural, and you need to follow what the Bible says. And he was not going to fellowship with someone of less standards. So the conversation finally came around to our bishop, who was asked the question, would you fellowship with someone who had less standards than you? And this is where Bishop's wisdom comes in, as well as just sometimes being practical in life. Bishop asked him this question. He says, so you're telling me you will not fellowship with someone who has less standards than you? What if I told you that I had higher standards than you have? Think about it. You may think, I'm not going to fellowship with someone because they don't have high enough standards. And there are people out there that might have higher standards than you. Do you want them to fellowship with you? It's about balance, folks. This is about balance. You see, the fact is you can fall off that proverbial log on either end. You can either be so conservative that you can fall off on the right end of the log, or you can be so liberal you can fall off at the left end of the log. Either way, you've fallen off the log, and either extreme is wrong and hypocritical. So we have to be aware of those two extremes. We got one log to live on. Let's balance out that log. We as Christians, we should not try to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly value, and not so earthly minded that we're of no heavenly value. We are progressive in that there's always room, and we should always desire to improve, yet we're conservative in the fact that I want to live how God wants me to live. You see, we have to strike a balance. You see, If God's position on something is a conservative position, that needs to be our position. If God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not, whatever God says that we should not do, then you know what? That's what how we should live by. You see, if God's position is something that's liberal, then that needs to be our position. You see, now, we can't take liberal by the world standards and define it by God's standards, because understand, when Jesus Christ came to the earth, he was considered a liberal lunatic heretic. He was nailed to a cross because he went against the religious conservative grain of his day. He probably wouldn't get very far in our day either. You see, we need to balance the whole word and the whole will of God, rather than overemphasizing only one aspect of it. That's where we get out of balance. Extremism false doctrine, discord and division among the body of Christ. Therefore, we have to be aware of the potential dangers that are involved here. I've seen so many great men and great women of God get their lives out of balance and begin to focus on one thing, and their whole life becomes that one thing, and they destroy everything. It just takes balance. Balance. Balance keeps things in perspective. You see, we need balance between the different dimensions of our lives. We talked about psychological, social, spiritual, physical, vocational. We need psychological balance between the mind, the will, and the emotions. There has to be balance there. We know what it's like when things get out of balance. We've met people where that they are out of balance in some of those areas. We need balance in our physical lives, the rest, exercise, work, and recreation. Listen, I really was convicted, and I'm not saying I'm going on a lifelong veggie diet or vegan diet like Daniel's fast, okay? But a lot of things came to attention in this 21 days, and one of them was, is my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And it's my responsibility to take care of that body. But what happens is because I found this happening to me, I put on weight and I gain more weight. And you know what? I don't want to exercise as much. I don't feel like it because I get tired faster. And pretty soon we get ourselves in this rut to where we don't exercise. We don't want to get out. We don't want to do things. And then we start piling on the weight. And the more we put on, the harder it is. Why is that? Because our lives have got out of balance. Our diet has got out of balance. God didn't design us to be that way. I'm not bashing anyone here tonight, and please don't take it that way. But our lives, our physical body, what happens when your sugar gets out of balance in your body? How many of you have sugar, have diabetes here? You don't have to put your hands up, but you know what it's like to try to keep your body in balance, to keep those chemicals in your body. God designed us balanced. He didn't design us to dump in 128 of corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup in every can of Mountain Dew. It's like a cup of sugar. I haven't drank any Mountain Dew. I did have a soda, okay? You just can't have. You got to have fajitas. You got to have a Pepsi or Coke with them. Everybody understand that? I mean, milk and fajitas? No. It don't go. They didn't have lemonade. That machine was broken. So, you know, there's a little give and take there. Okay? But we have to have balance. We need balance socially with family and friends. You know what? I believe in family. But I know of families that every member of their family, when there's a birthday, the party's on Sunday, and they miss weeks of church sometimes because they're celebrating so-and-so. This is my brother's nephew, and this is his little boy, and it's his birthday, and it's his first birthday, and we got an invitation, and we have to go. You know who this kid is? No, I've only met him once. Where do they live? Well, they live in Indiana. You drive all the way. What? I mean, I'm talking about balance here, okay? I'm not saying it's wrong to go, but if you go to every one of them, believers and unbelievers, you know, you can get out of balance if all you do is hang out with people of the world. That's how your life gets out of balance, because that begins to rub off on you. We need balance in our doctrine. A push too far in any direction, we fall into false doctrine. There has to be balance. We need balance on our intake of the Word of God. I had all of the books out here on Wednesday night, and I went through them all, and I had a Canadian fishing book right in the middle of it. Why is that? I'm just going to be honest with you. If I read my Bible right before I go to bed, I get so distracted, and before I know it, I'm looking up all kinds of things and saving all kinds of notes. Now, I have my study time, but the worst time for me to read it, because what happens is it wakes me back up. Sister Russell told me this morning, she says, you need to read like a National Geographic, or you need to read some kind of a magazine that's not biblical related, because the way your mind works. It's a good advice. We have to have balance in worship. You see, there has to be, if every time we came in here to service, it was a blowout service, you would never get teaching like we're getting. There has to be balance. Now, there's a time to have blowout worship services. But there's a time to also to sit down and listen to what God is saying through the ministry. So there has to be a balance. There has to be some intake and some output. If your output exceeds your intake, then your upkeep will be your downfall. Did you get that one? If your output, for you writing notes, if your output exceeds your intake, then your upkeep will be your downfall. We need balance between biblically faithfulness and cultural relevance, our spiritual health, and as well as our physical health. We need to be proactive in our health, in our physical, our body, our mind, our spirit, our relationship. If we're living a healthy life, we'll be so blessed that you won't have time to be stressed out or depressed. You know, most people, depression kind of starts because it's a physical that goes into a mental. Happens a lot. Not every kind. I mean, you look at genes. We look at our, I'm not talking about blue genes, the G-E-N-E-S. We look at our genes, our daily lifestyle decisions. I recently read that some scientists say in determining longevity that lifestyle is 80% of living a long life. Lifestyle and genes are only 20%. What goes in affects you. What goes in your stomach, what goes in your mind. So we determine our own destiny as far as becoming and remaining a healthy person spiritually, physically, psychologically, emotionally. All of our tires, folks, have to be balanced. We got to make sure we got the same amount of air in all of our tires. And that's where we have an air gauge. And every now and then, we got to pull over beside the road. We got to test it out. And if we got to pull into PDQ and pop a quarter in, we pop a quarter in. We pull into a church service. We sit down. We listen to a message. And it helps us balance out our lives. So what questions do we need to consider in becoming more balanced and more healthy? So here's some questions. We got a number of questions here. What's my weakest health link? It amazes me how much our health affects everything else. What's your weakest health link? What health principles do I need to learn and implement in my life? What rules am I breaking that I need to follow? And what am I doing to start to becoming healthier? What strategies will ensure my success? And where in my life is most out of balance? If you need these questions, I can get these afterwards for you, okay? Brother Shane's over there. He's just typing as fast as he can, and he just gave up. I'm running out of time. By beginning with a single strategic step and continuing to improve on a daily basis, we will find our way to becoming a healthy, balanced, biblical person. We also have what are essential balance for healthy living. How much do you give to God in offering, and how often do you ask forgiveness? You know, some people that just cannot ask forgiveness because their pride won't let them. And they go around and they become stressed out all the time. They're always on eggshells. Because they're carrying that load of guilt, and it begins to affect them in so many areas. You need to live a joy-filled life. Some of you need to smile a whole lot more. You know, listen, I don't want to be mean or nasty here, but some of you take yourselves far too serious. There's nothing wrong with just cutting loose and having a little fun sometimes. It doesn't hurt you. Laughter is it's good for the soul. Some people, you can't make a joke about anything because you're afraid that you might offend somebody. I don't like that. Listen, I'm a bumbling idiot sometimes if you just hung around me long enough. It's like, how in the world did you get your hand in there and get cut that way? I have no idea. I just sometimes do things, and I try to put on a good front, but sometimes my mind and my body just don't work together. Healthy and loving relationships. We need to work on our balance in relationships. It's important that we have healthy and loving relationships. It's important that we love one another. That's important. Our personal spiritual well-being. We need to discover God's purpose for our lives. We've talked about that throughout this. But no one ever achieves perfect balance. Even in your lifetime, sometimes you never achieve that perfect level of balance. But we need to understand that this biblical principle is something that we need to seek and follow after and strive for. We can become better adjusted, better rounded, enjoy the kind of life that John describes in John 10:10 when he says, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So we got to ask ourselves. Sometimes, first and foremost, we need to love with all of our heart, mind, soul, and our strength. And our zeal for the things of God, maintaining our spiritual fervor, our passion for God and the things of God. We need to be wholeheartedness. Whatever our task is that we're assigned to do, whatever our ministry is, we need to do it for God with all our heart. We need to take and listen more sometimes than we speak. We need to be quick to hear, slow to speak. Our confidence needs to be in God, not in ourselves. We need to be committed to God and trust in His ways. We need to commune with God. We need discipleship. We need a hatred for sin. Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. We need a correct attitude. I choose to display a Christ-like attitude in my life every day, and I choose to have a positive mental attitude instead of a DRA, dirty, rotten attitude. I want to have a positive impact. Not people walk out of here and say, oh my word, do I have to listen to him again? Maybe you do say that. I don't know. I'll do better. I'll try better. Priorities. I will determine and act upon biblical priorities daily. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33, my health. I will learn and follow healthy guidelines for daily living. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It was bought with a price. It was paid for on Calvary, and I'm going to glorify God in my body, in my spirit, and in my mind. Since my body is God's temple, I better take good care of it with sleeping and nutrition and exercise as needed. I want to go on that man-up adventure in August where you go up to that bomber up on the side of the mountain that crashed during World War II. That's a pretty grueling trip, Brother Scott, and I've determined that I'm going to take and get in shape. I got to carry a 45-pound backpack for 10 miles, and I got to get in shape to do that, and I'm going to do it. I've never done that before. I've never hiked 10 miles at 10,000 feet, but it's a goal of mine. So when I come back from that and I am like bulked up, I can preach for 30 minutes without taking a breath, you will know that I succeeded. Family, I'm going to communicate. I'm going to take care of my family. When the closest thing to me, my family is so close. I love my family. Joshua 24:15, and it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You're going to serve the gods of the Amalekites and all of the other gods, the Amorites before the flood. And then he ends up, he says, but for me and my house, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're talking about a biblical, balanced life. Thinking. I'm going to practice and develop good, godly thinking every day. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Isaiah 55, 8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I want to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself in my mind, my heart, my body against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. And a commitment. I want to make a deeper commitment to Jesus Christ daily. And I'm going to follow through with what God wants me to do. Talking about balance. I'm not going to live by impulse. I'm going to live by God's word, what God wants me to do. Finances. I want to make good financial decisions. God wants to bless some of you financially, but he can't because you don't make good, sound decisions. Understand that. That's a very solid biblical principle. I want to earn money ethically. I want to manage it biblically, and I want to share it generously. My faith, I want a deeper faith. I want a Christian faith. I want to exercise my faith every day. And I want relationships that I can initiate and invest in loving and relationships every day. I love the relationships I have here at Calvary Gospel Church. I want to be generous, and I want to embrace godly values, and I want to grow. I want to grow. So if our musicians can come, and you can stand to your feet. You see, growth is something that is a daily process. A daily process. Every day we need to go through the sanctification process, which means asking God to forgive us. And if we have aught against our brother or our sister, make sure that we take care of that daily, lest a root of bitterness grow in your heart. We're talking about just balance here, folks. It's just balance. So as I close out this series, I would like to end with this parable. And it's found in Matthew 21, 28 through 31. There was a man who had two sons. They went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. I'm reading a different version that's up there. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of these two did what the father wanted? He asked this question to the Pharisees. Which of the two? The first, they answered. Now looking at this parable, the question is asked in verse 31. Which one of the two did the will of the Father? You see, the bottom line is they both had their faults. One was rude. One had an attitude. And when he was asked to do something, he resisted it. But the other son didn't plan on working that day in the vineyard, and perhaps he had other issues that were pressing him. And he told his father, he says, "Sure, Dad, I'll go work in the vineyard. Where do you want me to start? What has to be done?" But he never showed up to work. Over the past month or so, we've been speaking on the value of a focused life. We've covered a lot of ground in this, folks. We've covered a lot of issues. And I know some of it may not sit so well with you. Perhaps some of the messages you went home and you went home angry. Others, you took it all in. You said your amens. But the question Jesus asked, which was the better of the two? And the less guilty of inappropriate and poor behavior? Jesus' reply was simply this, the first. You see, because his actions, even though they were negative, his actions were better than his words. So as we close this series out, I want to ask you tonight, will your actions be better than your words? You see, if we're going to live a focused, balanced Christian life and fulfill the purpose that God has called us to fulfill, even though we might not like it, It may go against our grain. We may struggle with it, become frustrated with it. We have to do it. We can't be like the second son that says, yeah, sure, Lord, a pastor, I'll do anything you want me to do. Sure, just count me in. But then never show up to do it. So the challenge is tonight, are we going to do it? So I want to open up this altar as a commitment. Perhaps tonight you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. You've never repented of your sins, been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or baptized. I want to challenge you tonight to commit to it. To commit to it. You want a life change? I don't know how everybody's lives are, but mine's not always perfect. I have struggles. I have frustrations. I know who to turn to. Perhaps you're struggling in multiple areas of your lives, and it's just so many things that's coming against you, you don't even know where to start. You got to start somewhere. Start in prayer. Dig into your Bible. Start developing a relationship with God. So are we going to commit to this? Because everything that we have after this, coming up this year, folks, is going to rest on this right here. Are we willing to live a balanced, focused Christian life?
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
And may the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house of prayer.
I wanna seek your face, seek your face.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer.
I wanna seek your face. Seek your face, O Lord.
Make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. A house of prayer.
May the fire of my altar.
May the fire of my altar never burn out.
The fire of my altar never burn out.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of
the fire of my altar.
May the fire of my altar never burn out.
The fire of my altar never burn out.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer. May the fire of my altar never burn out.
The fire of my altar never burn out.
May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire of my